back to the Prof. JC Leadership Podcast. It's good to see you. I'm running way behind this week on the podcast. I thought for sure I'd have it out on time, but this has been a busy week. This past Sunday, I found myself getting on a plane and heading up to Colorado again. Seems I've been there a few different times. The consulting company that I partner with, based out of Denver, Colorado. And so because of that, a lot of our clients tend to be up in that area. So we've had some really good engagements this past year. And so one of them that we just recently had this past week was for a group of people called Colorado Judicial. And so once a year, they fly in all these people from all across the state of Colorado. I guess they drive in and they pick a resort for them. And they fly them all in, and I was able to come and do four different training sessions with them, and it was just wonderful. They're incredible people. I love spending time with that group of people. They feel almost like they're my people. But I wanted to share with you something that I learned this week in two different situations. And you know, this is a leadership podcast. Both of the issues I'm going to talk to you about, I learned through teaching. But I have a firm belief that teaching and leading really go hand in hand. Coaches, teachers, and leaders, right? A lot of the skill sets work, they transfer from one to the next to the next. That's why I think some, people who have got a teaching in their background often become some of the greatest leaders. And I think great leaders, there's something about them that they have something that they're able to be a great teacher. And as we know, great coaches are both, right? They're great leaders and they're great teachers. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lesson I want to share with you today really came from teaching, but I believe it is 100% applicable when it comes to leadership. Now, here's what it is, okay? So this past Monday, I'm doing a talk on the generational gaps in the workplace and the generational divides in the workplace. And that's, I'm coming to find it's a really, for me personally, it's a fun topic to speak about. It's fascinating. It's interesting. There's a lot of history behind it. You know, how has Gen Z become the way they are? How is Gen Alpha going to be? And when you study the history behind all of it, going all the way back to the rise of the traditionalists, I'm talking back to the beginning of the 1800s, you go all the way back and you bring it all the way down, you get to see how history has formed itself and why different generations are the way they are. Okay. So I'm giving a talk about this. Now here's what I know, or here's what I'm learning, that even though I love this topic because I'm teaching it and there's so much history in it, it's very triggering for some people. So I'm giving the training on Monday morning, and I could have done a couple things better. Okay. And that's a leadership lesson as well. I'm a Gen Xer. Barely made the cutoff. I'm right there at the very end. I'm one of the younger Gen Xers, okay? But I still have that same kind of mentality. But I also understand the millennials, right? Because I was born in 1979 and the millennials began in 1980. So I'm kind of right there in the middle. But what I don't understand is this new generation coming out there, right? I'm seeking to understand them. I'm seeking to understand better kind of what their problems are, their issues, their challenges. And so all it's good. But I came into the training that day and I kind of came in outside of, what I should have been doing was coming in with a mindset of, hey, I'm the instructor, I'm the facilitator. And so I need to come in and I can't be in this discussion. I've just got to present the data and let them take it. Well, we get to a part in the training where we're talking about Gen Zs and how Gen Zs have these things called bring your parent to work day. If you were to look this up on Google or Career Builder, the company Career Builder and some of the other ones, they actually have bring your parents to work day and parents flying from all over the country to visit their kids at the workplace. That to me sounds just insane. It's a world that I'm not used to. You know, I make jokes sometimes. I tell my kids, you invite me to a workplace, I'm not showing up, right? I've got enough on my own plate to do than show up at your work and give you a pat on the back for what you're doing. But that's kind of a Gen X mentality, right? Or Gen X. So anyway, I'm kind of in there and I'm making a little bit of jokes. Halfway through the break, one of the one of the cohort members comes up to me and they said, wow, this is kind of a challenging topic. I'm not seeing any of this. I'm kind of oblivious. I'm just thinking, well, it's morning time. They're kind of tired. They're not really in this, so not a big deal. But she tells me, she said, man, you can feel the heaviness in the room. And she said, it just seems to me like the younger generation is really angry. They have a lot of anger that they need to get out. And so I had to pause and say, okay, I didn't see this. I'm missing it. So that's something I need to work on myself. But she's clearly seeing it. And then she says this. She says, so she's Gen X as well. And she says, you know, JC, I'm Gen X myself. And so I'm trying to figure out, how do I reach out and get to know this new generation better? How do I understand them better? And I said, well, that's a really good question. Why don't you ask it when we come back? Okay, because we do a lot of Q&A kind of in my sessions. I'm big on that. I'm okay if we don't get through all the PowerPoint slides. It's really important to me that the people in the room feel heard and they feel that their voice matters. And so I said, why don't you bring it? Well, she said, well, I don't necessarily want to. So we came back afterwards, and you know what, on reflection, in just a couple of minutes I had before I could start the class over again, or after break, I recognized what she was saying. And I said, you know what, she is right. This is more tense than I'm giving it credit for. And there's some anger in the room. Some people are upset. I'm not seeing it because, again, I'm coming from kind of a Gen X mindset. So then I told her, well, if with your permission, I'm going to ask that question. So we open up the next half. People come back. You can tell they're kind of dragging in. They don't necessarily want to be there. This is a heavy subject for them to talk about, especially the younger people. And also, I underestimated how many younger Gen Zs were in that room. So when I'm making fun of them and making jokes at their expense, of course, they're going to get upset and angry, but they're not saying anything because there's not trust in that room yet. And they're thinking, if I say something, I'm just going to get laughed at anyway. So that was a mark on me and something that I will do better in the future. We come back after break, and I, using the words that this other person said, I said, hey, as a Gen Xer, and I said, I know there are other Gen Xers in here who feel the same way. I want to ask the Gen Zs a question. What can we do to reach out to you? Oh, my goodness. If I could just tell you, the whole place, it just came. It's like all the walls came tumbling down just by asking that question and creating an open space for dialogue. And so now Gen Z was able to talk and share. And I think we had 90 minutes left in our training. We spent half of that just letting everybody talk and kind of get things out on the table. And hopefully they were able to learn from each other in that class. It wasn't even me. It was each other that they were learning from. And I learned a lesson on that one. Okay. Now, fast forward a couple of days, I land back in San Diego. I go straight from the airport to my office very quickly for about an hour, and then go straight to my classroom where I have to teach. That night, I'm right now with this class, this particular class, I'm teaching on diversity and inclusion in the workplace. It's a leadership class. It's a small class, but I'm teaching on leadership, on diversity and inclusion. Well, last week, and again, this is something I'm learning myself. I brought out a heavy subject too close to when class was going to end. Only half the class was able to answer. We're talking about this issue of privilege. And the group that I had speak out on it last week pretty much said that they didn't really believe that privilege existed. Okay. Now, again, I'll get back to what we talked about this week, so I don't want you to be angry at that group. But we didn't have a chance to really dive into it, and we had to cut class. But their mentality in that group, one whole side of the room was almost like, we just don't believe in privilege. We've earned our own privilege. Okay. So again, we're talking about diversity, equity, inclusion. It starts by having this conversation about privilege. In my mind, they're not understanding it, but I had to leave because class was over. And I spent about 2 or 3 days really upset, anxious, worried about this class, thinking, how in the world can these people walk out and lead from this leadership program, and they're not able to see their own privilege in their own life? Well, I'm stressing about it all week long, but I'm up in Denver, so I can't really think about it. But then I get on the plane and I realize I have to teach that night. So I start thinking about it, and I get out this book, one of the books that we're working through, and I'm just trying to figure out the right answers. And then I just, you know, even I think before I ended up leaving, for this trip, I set up a meeting with one of our people on this on the campus where I work, She's kind of in charge of helping teachers develop and become better, you know, as faculty members. And I even reached out to her, and I had about a half hour, 45 minute meeting with her, maybe an hour meeting with her, where I just told her how depressed I am and how worried I am about this situation. And I'm trying to figure out the right things to do and what activities can I lead them through so they can understand their privilege. And so by the time I get on the plane, though, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't have time to build PowerPoints. I don't have the energy to do all of that. And so I just say, you know what? You know, to hell with it. I'm going to run with this. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up with a set of questions, and we're going to circle up our tables, and we're going to sit. I'm not going to be up in front of them from an instructor's point of view. I'm going to get down and sit at the same table that they're sitting. And we're just going to go around and have a discussion tonight. You know, I wanted to come in there with guns blazing and say, you all don't understand it. You know, you have privilege and you're poor leaders and you don't understand. You don't. And I remember the faculty teaching director, she told me, well, you can't do that. You know, you can't walk in and that's going to put them all on the defensive. And I wanted to, because I think I have trust built with this class because I've had them before. But I realized in that moment that wouldn't have worked. And so we just got to lead with questions. So anyway, leading with questions, we sit down and we have this, what I think was an amazing conversation. And again, they begin to speak to each other. And we kind of came up with a group definition of what this word privilege was. And some of the people from the week before who had this mindset around privilege that I think is clearly wrong, you could see that they were able to backtrack from that and say, you know what, I need to make a better decision on this. I think I've changed my mind on this. And I also had to make some concessions. One of the things I had to say in that class is say, hey, I'm not here to have you apologize for your privilege. And if you know anything, and again, we're getting into a whole new subject here it's not the aim of what I'm trying to talk about, but the subject of privilege is really a controversial button, because a lot of people, they get defensive with it because they feel that they have to apologize for the privilege they have. And the book even talks about that. You don't have to apologize. We just want you to be aware of that privilege. And so as you're thinking about other people, especially in a leadership position, think about other people that may not be right where you are, may not have the same tools that you have. Why do you have better tools than that person does? Okay. So here's the point I'm trying to make, though. Because I took away that mindset of having to come in there and teach, and come up with all these things. And I just sat down and had a conversation with them, okay, on Wednesday night. And then Monday morning when I'm doing that, and this incredible member of the class comes up and says, hey, I think there's a lot of anger in this room. And I'm grateful that I was able to hear her say that and then readjust. Both situations, everything calmed down. Okay. People left on a better note. Why? Because of conversation. And in that Wednesday night class, the moment I walked in and started talking about it, I could tell they were all on edge. Nobody wanted to talk about this. So we actually started with gratitude. That's always a secret weapon as well. You're getting ready to go into a meeting that's going to be a little bit tough, or you're going to have a hard conversation with everyone. Start with gratitude. And immediately it elevated the room. But then because we were able to have conversations, so here's the lesson of all this I'm trying to tell you. If you're struggling in your leadership right now, and for some reason you feel the people are not coming your direction, they're not coming to where you want them to come to, more than likely what you need to stop doing is pushing, okay? However that is, and leading, pushing, and you need to stop and pause, get everyone on the same level, you get down on their same level, you bring them up to your level, whatever it is, however you want to do it. But you then lead by asking questions. And if you're really smart, you'll think about a really good question, you'll throw that question out there, and then your people will respond. And, however they respond is however they respond. But that response that those people give you, that will lead, I promise you that will then lead to whatever culture you're having in that room, letting people be open to dialogue. I promise you that is going to transform the culture just in a moment's notice, within hours, by letting people have a say in whatever it is that you're talking about. Okay. So that was a really important lesson for me this week. And again, I've shared this with people before, that I get paid with my mouth. I teach for a living. I train for a living. Everything I do that pays my bills has to do with speaking. And so if I'm not careful, I'm not very good at shutting up and listening. And you know what, leaders, I think that goes for a lot of us on this call today. If we're not careful, we're not great at shutting up and listening. But here's what I found, that when we're able to do that, when we're able to pause and bring everyone to the table, and if we're really smart about the question we ask, okay, and I don't mean ask some smart question, some smart ass question or something. I mean, ask an honest question. You know, maybe talk to someone on your team and say, hey, I sense there's something here. What is a good question that I should be asking that the team wants to talk about? Throw that out there, right? And then see what they say. But if we come with questions as leaders, I promise you that will be powerful in helping to transform any kind of culture, you know, that we're maybe struggling with. So I just wanted to share with you. That was a major lesson for my week. And I just wanted to pass that along to you. I hope you're doing well out there. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I apologize for running behind Friday afternoon, getting this thing out. It's way too late, but still wanted to get out this week. Thanks so much for following me. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Prof. JC Leadership Podcast. Take care. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.